Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, let's get into our book review. We are still looking at The Great Hope, and today we're on chapter 5, which is entitled False Hope. And so we are trying to connect with Pastor Chaukura to take us through just a quick summary of what this chapter is all about and the lessons that we can learn from chapter 5 of The Great Hope. Remember that you are welcome to read along with us and share your own thoughts and insights as well. The lessons that you are learning from the chapter, our number is +27734703520. The pastor is on the line. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. My name is Pastor Clifford Chaukura from Zimbabwe. And how are you?
I'm doing very well, my pastor. How are you doing today?
Excellent. God is with us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're so happy that we'll be getting through this chapter. Let's start with a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us an opportunity to talk about your greatness and your sovereignty amongst our lives. And we are happy because you are bringing us online to on air so that we can spread the good news to everybody, every creature, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 8. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, and may you bless each one of us and those who are going to listen even after this episode. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Looking at chapter 5 of The Great Hope, maybe let's start with just a summary of what the chapter in its entirety is all about.
Okay, thank you. It's talking about false hope. False hope is giving people assurance of things that will never happen. Mm-hmm. And this is being given by the evil spirits, the devil himself, because he shows people that even if they die, they are going to live and they are going to see what is happening even beyond the natural realms. So he's giving people assurance of and confidence of things that will never happen, because there is no immortality of the soul that the devil is talking about. So in chapter 5 of The Great Hope, we are learning about the falsehoods of paganism brought in by the evil spirits. After the devil was fallen, he was Lucifer and was fallen, and with the third of the heavenly hosts, he was thrown and cast down upon earth, casting ekbalo, casting meant throwing away without consideration. And then he goes to masquerade as angel of light, and his evil spirits, the evil angels that were fallen, the angels of darkness are also masquerading as angels of light. They teach, they deceive, and they their purpose is to undermine the scriptures and also to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, so that they place him on the same level with themselves. Mm. That's the summary of chapter 5.
And when we're talking about false hope, some of the things I suppose can lead us in that direction is the idea that feeling good is an indicator that what we're believing in is the correct thing because it feels right. Our emotions are driving our beliefs. Let's talk a little bit about that. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And yet we know that the truth challenges us, right? So can you talk to us about the danger of following our feelings rather than the truth of the word?
Yeah, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together. We underline reason.
Yeah,
we are created as reasoning beings. We have the frontal lobe, which is the citadel of choice and reason. So we have to calculate from cause to effect and see whether this thing is reasonable and it makes sense, because humanity has been given power to do that and to see whether this is true or is false. And then the Bible itself is our safeguard So we are not supposed to move according to feelings or emotions or the situations that arise. Like Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. It's steadfast. So we must remain steadfast in truth, not being moved by the whims of change or about because of feelings that are taking over our bodies and our emotions at that time. So it's very dangerous to be guided and led by feeling. I warn those who are listening, it's not really our purpose to think about how I feel, so I move in that direction.
Exactly.
It has caused a lot of delusions to many. Yes.
Very true. Very true. And then another
thing,
I was saying to the listeners earlier that on the one hand, we have the emotions and our feelings. And then on the other end of that spectrum sometimes is the traditions and the things that we do because that's what we've always done. And sometimes we get so stuck in that and we, you know, there's no openness to possibly learning a little bit more or changing something that has always been done. But now, you know, maybe we've received more light on a particular subject. And, you know, sometimes we're so stubborn because this is the tradition. This is how we've always done that. Can you touch a little bit on that?
In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks about traditions. Are you, chapter 7, verse 15, are you taking away the law because of the tradition? He is admonishing to the Pharisees who were talking about the disciples not washing their hands according to tradition before partaking of food. And they say, Jesus says, the law is greater than traditions.
Yes.
The law is greater than the culture. The law is greater than our ways of life that we have always enjoyed because we are born in this tribe, because we are bred in this way. So tradition as well, and Paganism plays a great role in tradition, and we are supposed to be wary of that. On the other side, the scripture and the deity of Christ and the way of worship, which is clearly elaborated and reiterated in the scriptures from Genesis up to Revelation.
That's beautiful. I think these are beautiful lessons, just reminding us of where to get our true hope, because it's so easy for us to be deceived. Don't you think that that is the idea that the devil has, that instead of, for example, when he's coming to us as Christians, when he wants to deceive us and he wants to lead us into sin or into whatever kind of delusion that he wants, that it's better for him to use the Bible, to twist the Bible and to twist our faith and our beliefs and to contaminate them with just a little bit of a lie. Like, he doesn't come with blatant lies, but if he just comes and twists the truth a little bit, that's enough for us to be deceived, for us as Christians. If he comes with a blatant lie, we'll identify it from a mile away and we'll be running the opposite direction. But when he comes to us with a little bit of truth and a little bit of lie, then it's easier for him to find a way in, right?
Yeah, very right, my sister, because Jesus says a little leaven will spoil the whole broth and the whole loaf of bread. So the devil's leaven, it's not very big. Mm. It's just a seed of it. And that's all. He mixes truth and error. And truth will be greater than the error that he pushes in.
Sure.
So the error of the immortality of the soul and the error of Sunday law sacredness, Sunday sacredness, those two errors are the ones that is just infused into the whole lot of Genesis to Revelation scriptures.
Wow.
And we within those, he tries to move the minds of people from God, the creator, so that we see the devil and his angels at the same level with Christ, the creator. Lucifer is a created being, and that's the devil. He turned into the devil, and he convinced the one-third of the holy angels of heaven.
Mm.
So they are not sleeping. They are not sleeping. In Matthew 24, the Lord says in verse 4, beware that no one deceives you. So the major point of the evil angels is deception, and the deception comes slowly, stealthily, but surely. And you must be very wary about it. That's modern spiritualism and modern spiritism, talking about soul immortality,
yes,
that was borrowed from paganism and brought into the church. You see, it came as a tradition and was borrowed slowly but surely.
Wow.
And now we are entangled into this. It's not easy to preach to somebody who has a tradition coming from generation to generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if these people, they, in their experience, they believe that they have seen that loved one who died. They spoke to him and they spoke to her. Their grandmother came to them in a dream and they spoke. So it's hard to tell them that, no, what you saw was not real, because they think, no, I saw it with my own eyes. I heard the voice with my own ears.
You see now?
Sure.
That's deception of apparitions. And the deception that Pharaoh also came through with these magicians.
Yes.
Check on Exodus 7, verse 10 to 12. Signs and wonders. These also are the ways the devil uses to destabilize our faith and also cause others not even to believe in Christ and the existence of the resurrection point, the resurrection truth, that if we die, we are unconscious and we remain unconscious until the resurrection morning. You see? So it's signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 to Revelation 13, verse 13 to 14, and the spiritualism giving people false hope, so that even if they live anyhow and they die anyhow without receiving Christ as their personal savior, they will still be immortalized and risen, and they will be given a better realm. They will be given a better realm of life, which is higher than that which is natural, supernatural realm. That's great deception. So the false hope in chapter 5 of Great Hope is actually giving us is giving us the assurance of staying in tune with Christ and his word every day. Devotion in the morning, devotion in the evening, like Daniel. You'd pray in the morning, midday, and in the evening, and also he would read his Bible. Then we are safe. If Daniel would pray, if Daniel would read the Bible, and he was a prophet, how much more should we do
exactly
in this last day? Yes.
So what are we supposed to do then, Pastor? You're talking about reading the Bible and praying every day, and we see even Jesus combating the devil's temptations in the wilderness using scripture. His response for everything was, "It is written, it is written, it is written."
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? Because at some point the devil also is using the same scripture, just like he did with Jesus, using the scripture to try and tempt us. How can we be sure that what we are believing and the scriptures that we're quoting are relevant to the situation, are relevant to whatever the devil is trying to make us do? The devil can come to us in the form of our pastor. He can come to us in the form of this radio station where we are, you know, we say we're preaching the word of God. If the devil comes in the form of an angel of light, how can we be sure that we are secure in the word of God? What do we do to make sure that we're not deceived, even using the word of God?
The devil is using scripture also to destabilize our faith, but you know, you must say scripture upon scripture and line upon line. A little there, a little, then you see. Even use the concordance to see the truth of it, and make sure you are attuned to the Holy Spirit that leads us every day. You must pray so that the Holy Spirit guides your reading. You are not just reading a novel or a newspaper, but you are asking God, the Holy Spirit, to guide your mind every day. And the Lord says, those who seek me will truly find me. And he has never allowed somebody to get lost if we truly seek his face. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 also admonishes us to be aware of this kind of deception. And the method that he uses there is to keep, let us keep attuned to Christ and the Bible and the Holy Spirit guiding us, and also the tradition of Christ and the disciples, the way they were leading out. They also met with the Areopagus and all the Greek philosophers who were using the Bible. But Paul and Silas and the disciples, they conquered because of the way they were checking to the law and to the testimony.
Amen.
To the law and to the testimony. And then you will remain guided. That's Isaiah 8, verse 19 and 20.
I just want to reiterate something, just to circle back to something you said a moment ago. You talked about the fact, you know, you talked about, you gave the examples of the immortality of the soul, the sacredness of Sunday, and things like that, as some of the deceptions that the devil has brought into Christendom. And I just wanted to reiterate on that, the fact that the devil is, he's okay if we keep on coming to church. He doesn't mind if you keep on, if you never pledge allegiance to him and his kingdom. He's okay if you keep on, you know, calling yourself a Christian. He doesn't mind all of that. Even if you're coming to church regularly every week, it doesn't bother him. As long as there's just that one little part of you that is believing, that has fallen for a deception, he's comfortable with that.
Yeah, because God says you must not have any other gods besides me.
Hey.
God is the jealous God, and you must, like you're married to God, and then someone comes and seduces you, and you say, I'm also in love with the devil. So the jealousy there is deep.
Yeah.
Idolatry. That's idolatry. When you listen to the voice of immortality of the soul, the voice of Sunday sacredness instead of the Sabbath truth, then you are saying Christ did not create, because there is no more Sabbath observance, which leads us to remember that Christ created and he is greater than the devil.
Yeah.
And the immortality of the soul, you must remember to worship God, the only creator, and worship him only. And when you die in Christ, you will be risen to everlasting life. So righteousness is undermined if we believe in natural immortality. And those are the two pillars of our existence.
Yeah.
That we know that we are mortal beings, we have been created, and our life is short, and we must remain bound to Christ and living attached to the vine.
Yeah.
We are the branches. And then also that the purpose of our life is to worship, and to worship who? The Creator, because we are created.
Amen.
That's right. And follow the truths of the Bible, which also calls upon obedience to the Ten Commandments.
As we're wrapping up, Pastor, just our final point here says that real hope doesn't just pat you on the back, it points you to the cross. A counterfeit gospel says, fine as you are. The true gospel says, come as you are, but let me change you. Hope that doesn't lead to transformation is just spiritual sedation. Can you please speak to us on that as we conclude?
Yeah, the gospel that doesn't convict you of sin and convert you to become a Christian and live a repentant life, that gospel is fake. So we must be convicted, we must be converted, and we must be repentant and grasp the truth, even if it comes now and you have been living in the wrong direction, walking in the wrong direction. We know that Jesus says he has winked. He winks at the wrongdoings of those who are not alert, who were not being alerted by the preachers. But now, from now onwards, according to Acts 17, verse 10, you are supposed to be converted and begin again. So that's the gospel, this kingdom gospel, the gospel of kingdom, which shall be preached from henceforth until the end of the ages, according to Revelation 14, verse 6 to 8.
Beautiful, beautiful. Pastor, in conclusion, any final words that you'd like to share with us with regard to what we are, what we're learning from this chapter, false hope?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that many people get a good feel and confidence in the wrong things. And sometimes some die without even realizing that they are following the wrong good feel, the wrong confidence, and the wrong leader. Now, Christ is the leader, Christ is our example, and has given us the light and the way and the Bible to follow every day. And if we follow that light and the way, we will not be even deceived. Deception is everywhere, is around us. We must be wary of the methods and schemes of the devil, so that when the heart, when we hear our the Lord speaking through the heart, into the heart, let us hearken to the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And our conscience will tell us that this is the voice of the Lord, and this is the way, walk in it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Pastor Chaukuna, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate you coming through and sharing with us the lessons from this chapter of The Great Hope. And I look forward to connecting with you again in the future. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you too. Amen.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.